Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all of these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. And as you sing psalms, hymns, spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him.
What? Are you laughing at my coat? I can't understand why. I like it. It's not orange and blue for any collegiate reason. This is my high school letterman's jacket. See? West Orange. West Orange. I used to wear this every day. And growing up in Central Florida, you know I didn't need it every day. In fact, we didn't need it any day. But we wore it every day because this for us was a badge of honor and pride that we had a letterman's jacket. You want to see the back? Get a close up. West Orange. Ooh. Did you get it? West Orange Warriors. Now, I know what you're thinking. He's going to preach this entire sermon wearing his 28-year-old varsity letterman's jacket. You can think that if you want, but I can't breathe. So pardon me while I take off the old and put on something a little more appropriate for a guy my age. You know, this was quite appropriate in 1982 and 3 when I used to wear it every day. But I'm telling you, if I wore that today, my kids would disown me. My wife wouldn't go anywhere with me. She would say, "No way, buddy, you are on your own." Why? Why? Because yesterday's clothing, or a coat from 27 years ago, just isn't appropriate for a 44-year-old guy who has grown. In the Lord, of course. Now, don't leave laughing at me. How many of you guys could fit in your 17-year-old clothes when you were 17? Oh, hush. Rub it in, will you? Rub it in. You're hearing in the letter that Paul was just reading for us in our presentation a continuing thought from last week, where Paul said, take off, put off, mortify, or as the real word is, put to death your old ways, your old self, and put on the new. Well, today we want to get to the new, because last week we talked about some of those things we take off. Some of those old clothes we aren't supposed to be wearing anymore because we've grown. Because we've made progress. Because we're further along. Because we're maturing in the Lord. Where we were when we were back then when we were, it's just not right. 27 years later. Or 12 years later. Or even 2 years later. Still be wearing those same old spiritual clothes. Today we pick up in Colossians chapter 3. We get into the meat of the text about verse 12 as we notice the character of Christ in community. And just to remind you, or in case you weren't with us last week, let me share with you again. We've got to get a running start at this, or you'll only get half the story. Remember that we are positionally in Christ at the right hand of the Father, in the heavenlies. We are in Jesus. Jesus is in us. Therefore, above all. Jesus above all. But practically, We are not holy as we should be. We are not as righteous as we should be. We don't live as rightly as we should. Practically, there is some distance between who we really are in the everyday world and who we are positionally seated in Christ in the heavenly world. And so the goal is to grow practically and to close the distance between who we are and who Christ is making us to become, to close the gap. And while we're closing that gap, we are extending the other gap of difference between who we are now and who we used to be, between who we are now and who they are, whoever they are, who those people who have yet to come to Christ. There is a definite difference in our life. We're not who we used to be. We are changing. We are growing. This process of being renewed is evident in our lives as we grow. Get the scripture. Let's get a running start at this. In chapter 3, we pick up in the previous verses before 12, the latter part of 9. You remember we read last week, you have taken off your old self with its practices, and you have put on the new self with its practices. These are habits. These are characteristics. You have changed characteristics. You have taken off old habits and ways of doing things and ways of thinking through things. You have put those off. And you have put on the new self, which is being renewed. This continuous process of growing and maturing and being changed more and more and more into the image of Christ, who is the pattern that God has set for us. You are being renewed in knowledge, in the image of its creator. Here, verse 11, still getting a running start at this, we've got to cover a preliminary thought. In this context, here is the Christian community. Here, where? In the body, among the family of God, the brothers and sisters in Christ. Here, there is no Greek or Jew. Here, there are no circumcised or uncircumcised, or no barbarians or Scythians or slaves or free. But Christ is all and is in all. I want you to be sure that these characteristics of Christ are not revealed in a vacuum. These are not laboratory characteristics. These are real world, everyday, set in the context of community characteristics. The character of Christ in the Christian community. And Paul clearly is saying, while there are differences, you cannot deny that, there are to be no distinctions based upon those differences. Christ is all and is in all. These differences that used to divide us no longer divide us because Christ has overcome these distinctions. Be they cultural distinctions, as were evidenced in this list of people that Paul rattled off for us here, or social differences. My goodness, the difference between Jew and Gentile or Jew and Greek was profound. There were profound religious differences, cultural differences, social differences, national, profound differences. And yet Paul said there are to be no distinctions. We're all one in Christ, and Christ is in all. There are others, these barbarians, these were ones that while a Jew might could come to embrace a Gentile as a fellow follower of Christ, a barbarian? You know, this is the worst of the worst, the lowest of the low. This is the bottom of the barrel, the lowest class, these people from the north. Man, Paul says there are differences, you cannot deny them. Just like in our day and time, there are cultural and social and racial and political and even spiritual differences. But we aren't to distinguish those differences to divide us. They're not to be distinctives that we use to rate one another or to classify one another or to exclude one and include another. These differences are not to divide us because there is something far greater that unites us, and that far greater uniting force and factor is Jesus. It's just a little aside here, setting these characteristics in context, that we are all one in Christ, in spite of our differences. Look around at the different people sitting around you. They don't look like you very much, do they? Well, I mean in general terms, but we're all different. We come from different backgrounds. We have different understandings. We have had different experiences. And yet, isn't it good to know that you can come into a place like this and fit in with people like this because Christ is the glue that unites us. By his Holy Spirit, he makes us to be one. Preliminary number two. Before we get to the changing of the clothes here, let's be sure that we understand, as Paul writes in verse 12, he is speaking to the church, to the body of Christ, to God's chosen people, the elect, holy, dearly loved. Then he says, clothe yourselves. Now, it's important that we make a distinction here that the things on the list that we're about to discover, the new clothes that we're supposed to be putting on in place of the old, these things are not things that we manufacture on our own. That's not what this is. This list is not something we go out and shop for. We already have these things. We are the chosen of God. We have been made holy, set apart. We are in Christ, positionally seated in the heavenlies, above all. We have, as the Bible says, everything we need pertaining unto life and to godliness. We are complete in him. We are born again and have in us all that we need for us to become the person God has saved us and recreating us in Jesus to be. So Paul isn't saying this is a mystery list. It's buried in somebody's backyard. Hope you can find it. No, he's saying this stuff is already in your closet. Put it on. These characteristics already belong to you. Put them on. Because these are, in essence, the character of Christ. And you will put on now these characteristics, the outward revealing of the inward character of Christ. And they may not fit well when you first put them on. You might just have to grow into them. These Christian, Christ-like characteristics are sometimes oversized. There's more than we can wear at times. That's okay. That's why we're to grow and to mature and to make progress until we can wear in a way that's fitting for us the characteristics of Christ in us. Put them on, Paul says. You already have them. Positionally, you are in Christ. You are seated. Now, practically, live up to that position in Christ. You already own these characteristics of Christ because the character of Christ is in you. Christ is in you. Now put these characteristics on. Let the outward appearance of you be consistent with the inner presence of him. Once again, you see the distinction who we really are now and who we are created in Christ Jesus to be. There is a difference. All these clothes that fit us well are hanging in our Christian characteristic wardrobe. Paul says, put them on. Take off all those old clothes. They don't fit anymore. They don't belong on you anymore. You don't wear those things anymore. You've been saved from those things. Put on the new Christian character wardrobe. Put these on, and then we have the list. We're going to make a list. You like lists? Get your pen and paper, and let's make a list together. Paul says, put these on. Put on kindness and compassion. Put on humility and gentleness. Put on patience. This may begin to sound to you a bit like the fruit of the Spirit listed for us in Galatians. There is a lot of similarity here. These are fruits of abiding in Christ, the natural result of who we are to become in Christ as we surrender our lives and our will and position to him, to take up his will and way for our lives and to let him live his life through us. These characteristics are revealed. The character of Christ in us, revealed through the characteristics of Christ around us. Compassion. What is compassion? You don't need me to define these terms for you, but I will. Compassion just simply means to care. About people, of course. Do you care about people? It's not common in our society, by the way, any more than it was common in Paul's day, to really care about people. We're taught from an early age to care about ourselves. And it sort of fits with what we used to be. That old nature craves to care about itself, to take care of itself, to nurture itself, even at the expense of others, to get what we want and need. But compassion is to care about people who you are around each and every day, to care. They're not just people passing by. They're not just someone else's problem. That's not just some other country or some other catastrophe. Christian people ought to care about people. All people. With a compassion that is unnatural. Supernatural, may I say, to us. Because it is the compassion of Christ in us to care about people around us. It's not Christianly mature to be callous and uncaring about people. To so easily be able to say, oh well, tough luck, bad for you. No, Christian character and the characteristic of Christ in us is to grieve with those who are grieving, to mourn with those who have lost, to rejoice with those who are joy-filled, to feel what other people feel because they matter to us and we care about them. Compassion. It's a wonderful new piece of clothing in your Christian wardrobe. Kindness. Just being nice to people. Treating others with respect and dignity. Kindness and humility. Thinking not poorly of self. That's not humility. But thinking of others first. Having a healthy self-esteem. A God-given self-esteem based on our unconditional acceptance in Christ, but then to reflect the same Christ-like spirit and attitude of humility towards others, which especially is true in a community of faith where we're willing to say, I might prefer it this way, but I want to be sure that your needs are met. I want to be sure that you are where you need to be, that you have what you need to have. Humility doesn't say, what about me and my needs or my preferences? This mature Christian clothing looks like someone who says, I will put up with it. I will sacrifice it. I will give it up because I truly care with a kind Christian spirit for the people in my life, and I'm willing humbly to serve them instead of demanding that they serve me. Gentleness. Gentleness, that's simple. It means you're a person who is safe to be around. You have a gentle spirit about you. You're not, as a mature Christian, one of these abrasive, hard, sharp-edged people that you're afraid to say good morning to because you're not sure if it's a good morning or not. Now, you've got somebody in mind, don't you? We all know that person, don't we? You know, the one that you try to avoid? I mean, if they're in the break room, when you start in there, you decide to delay your break. Because there's just such a cloud. There's just such an edge. Well, it's no wonder that someone who is separated from God, who is apart from Christ, who does not have the joy of the infilling of the Holy Spirit, it's no wonder why that person would be unkind. But I'm telling you, it is absolutely contrary to the character of Christ in us to be unkind to people. Gentleness and kindness and humility and compassion and patience. Are you a patient person? Some of you are honest people. There's a lady over here, and I won't look at her because I don't want to isolate her, but she's going, and she's doing it in a hurry too. I bet you're more patient than you think. Are you a patient person? You know, when I used to wear clothes like this, and I was 17 and 16, 18 years old, I just was not patient. And just the other day, I just was not patient. I wanted it now, and I wanted it this way today. Well, that was characteristic of my life back then, but I'm supposed to have by now put off the persistent impatience of my former days. I'm supposed to have put on now a new coat of patience. I'm supposed to have taken on myself now the character of Christ and reveal that character through the characteristic of patience. I'm supposed to be willing to wait, to be patient, not to be rude when I'm caught in a fast food line three cars deep and I have to say out loud to satisfy my impatient spirit, did we come to a fast food restaurant or am I confused? fast food. And then to get cold fries. You'd think if you had to wait 10 minutes to get a quarter pounder with cheese and a fry, that at least they'd fry some fresh fries for you. And I had to examine my wardrobe in that moment, because when the glass slid back and the sweet person handed me the food, there was an urge in me to say, fast food restaurant. But praise the Lord, my son was with me. And so when the person handed us the bag, she said, "Sorry for the wait," I said, wearing my new Christian character clothing. I said, "No problem. We have plenty of time. Take your time. Just give me the bag." No. You know, this patience thing is really sort of a very obvious measure. You know if you're more patient today than you used to be. Your wife knows. Your husband knows, your children know, if you are gaining patience as you grow in the Lord. They know if you wake up every morning and put on the Christian character item or piece of clothing or habit of patience. They know. And can I just say that Christians ought to be nice people? How many of you agree with that? Say amen. I mean, it should be characteristic of a Christian to be nice, to be easy to get along with, to be easy to get around. It's not that you're weak. That's not what any of these words mean. Meekness is not weakness. Being mild-mannered, kind, compassionate, considerate, gentle, and patient doesn't mean that you're a weak person or somehow less than a man. There's nothing inherently spiritual about driving, demanding, even in spiritual terms. No, the character of Christ is compassionate and kind and humble and gentle and patient. And so, because we possess the character of Christ, those ought to be characteristics that we are clothing ourselves with every day. Some of us are task-driven. You want a list with some boxes to check? Are you making a list? There's one right here. Paul says, put these things on. But Pastor David, you said this was set in the context of the Christian community, which means it's not all about me. There are people all around me. What if they fail? What if they don't put on their new clothes? What if they're still wearing their varsity letterman jacket from 1983? What if they are unkind and lack compassion? They are not humble. They are arrogant. What if they are harsh and abrasive? What if they are impatient and driving and demanding? Well, you could meet fire with fire. Or you could remember a gentle answer turns away wrath. And you could choose instead, as Paul says, verse 13, bear with each other and forgive. Forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Those are two more characteristics that reflect or reveal the character of Christ, which we already possess. Let's add them to our list, shall we? Forbearance and forgiveness. Forbearance means to hold back what is deserved. To bear with, to put up with. You know, some of us are going to give it back as soon as we get it. But the character of Christ in us is to bear with it, to put up with it, to withhold the response to it, even if the response is justified and they deserve it. Well, I know I shouldn't say this, but you deserve it. We shouldn't do this, but I'm telling you, they deserve it. Forbearance. Not weakness. But the willingness, consistent with the character of Christ, to put up with an awful lot before we launch. And forgiveness, you know what that is. Forgiveness is to let go of something that you might be naturally inclined to hang on to. tight-fisted grip, to keep that grudge, to harbor that offense, to hang on to that bitterness and anger and unforgiveness. But forgiveness means to let it go, to release it, to send it away. Is this starting to sound at all like Jesus to you? That Jesus was kind and compassionate, humble and gentle, patient, was willing to put up with so much and willing to forgive so much. It ought to be sounding like Jesus. It's exactly who he is. And it is exactly who he is in you and me. Forbearance and forgiveness. Someone said to me once, probably read it in a book, that unforgiveness is like a poison you mean for someone else, but that you yourself drink. Unforgiveness. The hanging on to things that we should have let go of a long time ago. The unwillingness to release what should have been let go a long time ago. And what does the scripture say? Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Now, Lord, how often should we forgive? I mean, gracious, isn't twice too many? Maybe three or four or five times? How many times should we forgive our brother who has offended us? What did Jesus say? Not seven times, but 70 times. So was he setting the number at 490? No. He was making the point that you forgive to the level that you have been forgiven. And Paul says here, listen, as you're putting on this garment of forgiveness, remember that that garment should cover to the level and the degree that you and your offenses have been covered. If you want to think about this for a moment, if God were to reverse this scenario, and there's an awful lot of evidence in the scriptures to make us think in this direction, if God were to only forgive us to the level that we are willing to forgive each other and others, how forgiven would we be? How many offenses would God still be holding against us? How many wrongs would he still be remembering? If God forgave to the level that we forgive, how forgiven would we be? But thank the Lord, he chooses to forgive us, to withhold the punishment and the judgment that we rightly deserve, that's mercy, and to release into us forgiveness and pardon and the removal of our sin and the separation that it caused, the grace along with the mercy. And then he turns to us and says, now listen, you've seen this, you've experienced this, you've been forgiven much, now forgive much. Some of us are still wearing around every day the old garment of unforgiveness. It's that person back then. It's that thing that happened over there. It's what was said. It's what was done. It's what happened to me. It's offensive. It offended you. They offended you, hurt you, and maybe badly so. Maybe your psychologist and your psychiatrist and your self-help books have all told you, given you all kinds of advice. Let me tell you what the Bible says. Forgive. Let it go. Open your hand and your heart and release it. You say, I can't do that. No, I actually may have misspoke. I didn't really mean you could. But you can put on the garment of forgiveness that is consistent outwardly with the inward character of Christ, who is the master forgiver. He can and will. It's one of these deals where you have to say, Lord, you know how hard it is for me to let that go. But today, Lord, I choose to clothe myself with forgiveness. And by faith, even if I don't feel it, Lord, I choose to release it and let it go. And you know how often you might have to say that? Every day. You know how often you might need to take off that old garment of unforgiveness and put on that new spirit of forgiveness. You know how often? You might have to do that every hour. But it's a process. And after a while, you'll grow into that new suit of forgiveness. After a while, it'll fit just fine. After a while, you won't be able to find that old coat of unforgiveness anymore. Just keep putting on forgiveness. And then Paul writes, verse 14, and over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Paul says, this is the belt that gathers it all. This is the overcoat that brings it all together. This is that thing that brings a unity and a completion and a perfection to all of these virtues. It is what undergirds and overlays all of these. Why else would you be compassionate and caring about others? Why else would you be kind to others? Why would you be gentle in spirit and nature toward others? Why would you be patient with others? Why would you forbear offenses and forgive insult? Why? Because you love. Because you love. And yes, the word here in the Bible is agape love, not phileo, a kind, friendly kind of love, and certainly not eros, the self-serving kind of love. No, this is the unconditional, sacrificial kind of love. I've discovered in my own life, and I think it's probably true in the life of the church, and I'd venture to say it's probably true in your life, that when we have a problem with people, the problem is love. We just don't love each other enough. We just don't love people the way God loves people. We just don't have that concluding, crowning, glorious virtue of love to the level and depth and degree that Christ demonstrated love. We just don't love each other enough. Because if you love people, then you're willing to forgive. If you love people, you're willing to let go. If you love people, you treat them kindly with compassion, with gentleness, with patience. This is one of those deals where you really, really need the Lord Jesus to go into your closet with you and help you take off that unloving spirit. You know, the one that says, I don't like you, but I have to love you. Dear friend, that ain't love. I don't like you very much, but I know I'm commanded to love you, so I do. You're lying. You know, I mean, I'm not saying that everyone you love is lovely or even lovable, but that's got nothing to do with it. See, the old nature, the old way, was to love only those who love you, or to love only those who are worthy of your love, deserving of your love. That's those clothes you wore back then, remember? It was the kind that said, well, I love you if. You remember, don't you? It was a few years before I wore this jacket, but I wrote a few of those notes. I love you, do you love me? Check, yes or no. You wrote a few of those, didn't you? Tell the truth. Sure you did. What was that? That was an extension of conditional love. What I really meant to say is I won't love you because I don't know how, and I don't even know what that means. But I'm not even going to try until you tell me you love me first. But we love because God first loved us. And that's the kind of love we're supposed to put on. It's our new clothing. It's the new Christian character and conduct wardrobe. Is to put on that kind of love. The kind that doesn't wait to be loved. That is not going to be deserving of love. That doesn't give up loving when the other person continues to reject our love. That's new Christian clothing. That's the put on that is consistent with the character of Christ. And this is one of those areas I think you could probably do a little homework on. Lord, let me today, this afternoon, go through a list of people in my life. And make sure you put people on that list that you don't get along real well with, that you may not care a whole lot for, that you might be having a difficult time with. Go through that list. I dare you. And then I dare you to go down that list and say, now, Lord, I need your help here. because I'm having a hard time loving this one. Help me love him. I'm having a difficult time, Lord, loving her. She's mean and selfish and hateful. But Lord, today I'm going to put on forbearance and forgiveness and love. Now, Lord, you know how weak I am. These clothes don't fit me real well. This love coat doesn't fit me right now. But I'm going to daily put it on and continue to grow in the Word and grow in my knowledge and understanding and grow in my experience until this coat fits. I'm going to keep putting it on. And you make that a daily habit. You ask God every day to love old so-and-so through you. And before you know it, you're going to be sappy, syrupy, sweet in love with that sorry, good-for-nothing, undeserving person in your life. Okay, forget I said that second part. So put these on. Add love to your list. If you got a list going, you have now 8 things on your list. We could add more. We could go further. We're going to just stop here. Put love on the list. Now, look at this list. Do you have it? You have these. They are in your closet. Because you are chosen, because you have been saved, because the person of Christ lives in you, the character of Christ is in you, you now need to put on the characteristics of Christ that are consistent with the character of Christ. Close that gap between the practical and the positional. And remember, there are some things that don't belong there anymore. Take these things out from last week. Remember sexual immorality and impurity. Remember lust and evil desire. Remember greed and idolatry. Remember anger, rage, malice, slander, lying, and filthy language. Take that stuff out. Don't even, look, this is the oldest piece of clothing I have in my closet. I've held on to it for many years because it's special to me. I don't have any more clothes in my closet that are 27, 8 years old. I know what you're thinking. Put your money where your mouth is. Throw that away too. No, this is where the illustration breaks down. Stop. Some memorabilia is okay. I just don't wear it anymore. For a few reasons. My kids will think I'm a geek. And I won't be able to breathe. So I don't wear it anymore. But these things, they don't have any business in the life of a Christian. They are uncharacteristic of the character of Christ in us. They don't belong there anymore. Instead, these are the things we're supposed to be wearing today. Compassion, kindness, and humility, gentleness, and patience, forbearance, forgiveness, and love. These are the things that are already in our closet. We ought to be daily putting on ourselves. The virtues that make the Christian life victorious. The winning wardrobe of a winning way and walk. I guess I should ask you again the second question. The question from last week is, is there a reasonable expectation that a guy who is 44 years old should no longer be wearing the clothes that he wore when he was 17? Of course there is. I mean, can you imagine how absurd it would be for a 44-year-old guy to be walking around dressed like a 13-year-old or an 8-year-old? Everybody would look at you and go, dude, grow up. Get some new clothes, man. Go to the mall, please. You look ridiculous. Shouldn't be wearing those clothes anymore. They are inconsistent with who you are and how long you have been who you are. But I'd add a question to that question for this week, and that is what kind of place would this be if everyone here dressed just like me? What kind of church would Champion Forest be if they all dressed like we dress, spiritually speaking? What kind of place would your home and house be if your whole family dressed like you and me? What kind of world would this be if all the Christians in the world dressed just like we dress? I tell you, be good to stand in front of the mirror of God's word today and ask the question, am I wearing today's clothes or yesterday's? Are the characteristics of my life consistent with the character of Christ in my life? Or have I got some more work to do, some things to take off, and some things to put on, so that indeed Jesus can be Jesus above all.
We hope you've enjoyed the message today and that it'll be a source of encouragement to you this week. We desire to help people make sense out of life through Christ-centered living. It all begins with a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10 that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Have you placed your trust in Christ? Well, no one can get to heaven by being good enough. We all have to trust Jesus Christ alone for forgiveness of sin and a home in heaven. For more information on this unique life in Christ, as well as more information on Champion Forest Baptist Church, we invite you to go to our website at championforest.org. God bless you.